remember a July afternoon in my Uncle Silas's garden when the raspberries were as big as walnuts and very nearly black. Where sun and shade met on the edge of the hazel spinney, a line quivered all afternoon like pure white fire. And far and deep under the trees, the shade was black too. We were supposed to be gathering raspberries for jam making, but I was eating most of mine as I picked them, and Silas wasn't working very hard either. He was lying flat on his back between the tall, dark rows of canes, with his head on his rolled-up jacket and a soft straw hat on his face. Now and then he lifted up the rim of the straw hat like a trap door and dropped a raspberry into his mouth, smacking his wet red lips with the sound of a clapper.
"These here raspberries remind me of Pikey Willis," he said. "Can't justly recollect if I ever told you about Pikey, did I?"
"No," I said, "I'd never heard of this Pikey."
"Ah, big man," my Uncle Silas said. "Unaccountable big and red. Very hairy and all. Looked as if he'd got half a sheaf of barley growing on the backs of his hands. Had a big red beard and all, just like a fox's brush dangling on his chops."
After this, he popped another raspberry into his mouth and shook his head thoughtfully, and then surprised me by saying that he'd always felt unaccountable sorry for Pikey.
"Very strong man, Pikey. Could lift a 20-score sow with one hand. Very nice chap, though, very quiet, unaccountable shy and timid. Allus blushing. Might have been a gal."
With a smack of his lips, he popped another raspberry into his mouth, and at the same time, I remembered something. "What about the raspberries?" I said. "And what had they to do with Pikey?"
"I will come into that if you let me get me breath. You're always in such a nation tearing hurry to get on. Pipe down a minute. I'm a-recollecting on it."
For the next few minutes, while my Uncle Silas lay sleepily lost in recollection, I lay down myself and stared up at the clear, calm blue sky. Presently, I heard him give a long, slow, ripe smack of his lips and say softly,
"Yellerans. Beautiful yellerans they were."
"Yellow what?" I said. I hadn't the faintest notion what he was talking about.
"Raspberries," he said. "The raspberries as Pikey growed."
I had to confess I'd never heard of yellow raspberries, and he said,
"Best flavour of the lot. Beautiful and sweet. Ain't so big, mind you, but lovely and soft. You don't see 'em growed much nowadays."
For the second time, perhaps a little impatiently, I said I'd never heard of yellow raspberries.
"Ah, neither had she," he said.
"And who," I said, "was she?"
"Shandy Lil," he said.
He smacked his lips again, softly this time, in what I thought was a slower, riper, fruitier recollection.
"Shandy Lil."
"And who," I said again, "was she?"
"Pikey's gal," he said. "Any right, the gal he were arter."
"What was she like?"
"Never forget it,"
he said with remarkable quickness.
"Allus remember it. Beautiful hot evening. I'd been mowing a medder all day and knocked down about 17 points, and we're just off to the Swan with two nicks for another quart or two. Hardly got 5 minutes up the medder lane afore I come across Pikey, sitting on a heap of stones, trembling like a good un, nussing a paper bag, looking just like a boy's had been caught bird's nesting and couldn't get rid of the eggs, blushing and quivering and quaking all over."
Sucking at another raspberry, almost black with bloom, he went on to say what a terrible thing it was to see a big, strong chap like Pikey in such a nervous state.
"I felt unaccountable sorry for him," he said. "And after a bit, I asked him what were the matter."
After this, he paused for so long that I was about to show my impatience again by asking exactly what was the matter, when he lifted the straw hat rather sharply and said,
"It ain't allus the strong uns that make a go on it. Ain't allus the big uns. Strength and everything."
"A go of what?" I asked him. "And who with?"
"Women," he said. Pikey wasn't getting nowhere with that gal. Well, he were frit to death on her. Been trying to speak to her for weeks. Heart failed him every time. Her mother kept a pub over at Netherdean, the Blacksmith's Arms. Seems Pikey used to go every night and have a pint or two there and stare at this gal across the bar. That's all. Just stare. Wasn't getting nowhere. Never said a word.
What was she like? I said again. Big? Fair?
Well, damn it, man, how do I know what she were like? I hadn't set eyes on her yet, had I? I'll outline her in a minute if you'll hold hard. But I'm going to get there first, anyway.
In the process of getting there, my Uncle Silas dwelt for some time on the pitiful nature of the raspberries in the paper bag. They were Pikey's idea of a present to a girl, a sort of opening offering. But yellow or not, Silas said, they wouldn't do at all.
First you gotta wrap everything up, Pikey, I told him. That's what women like, surprises. Unwrapping things, a bit of a mystery. Next, you gotta roll up to that pub as if you are somebody. Get a trap and a spanking little mare and drive up in that. Tie a bit of ribbon on a tail and put a big sweet William in your buttonhole. You'll never get nowhere crawling and trembling on your hands and knees. Women don't like that.
All Pikey could do, it seemed, was to sit on the heap of stones and say over and over again,
Oh, I dustn't do it, Silas. I dustn't do it. I ain't made that way.
What happened? I said.
Well, when a chap don't know how to do his courting, you'd best get on and show him. That's what I say.
Accordingly, two nights later, my Uncle Silas borrowed a trap and a little brown mare from a man named Joe Billington and tied a blue and yellow ribbon on the mare's tail and a crimson bow on the whip.
Pikey picked a beautiful lot of raspberries and I laid them on a nice bed of leaves in a little bit of a flat basket. Then I covered them over with a bit of white muslin and tied it on with blue ribbon. And then slipped a few cornflowers round the handle and tied them on and all. Then I put a big red rose in me buttonhole and a big pink and white sweet William in Pikey's. And we spanked off like a couple of dukes going to the races.
This time I didn't ask what happened. Somehow I knew that when they got to the Blacksmith's Arms, Pikey would sit in the trap outside all of a tremble and say,
Oh, I dustn't do it, Silas. I dustn't do it. I ain't made that way.
He said it 40 times if he said it once, my Uncle Silas said. Couldn't get him into that bar nohow. Wild horses wouldn't get him in. Pikey, I said, you sit out here and hold the basket while I'll go in and coax her. I'll coax her the best I can and tell her all about you, and after a bit she'll come out and then you can coax her. You can take her up the lane for a ride and gather a bit of honeysuckle. Beautiful honeysuckle I noticed on the edge of that spinney back there. Nothing like a bit of honeysuckle for coaxing gals. Well, it were getting a bit dusk when we come out. I know that. Still nation hot and the mare were a bit restless. But that wasn't all. Only thing in the trap were the basket. Pikey had done a bunk. Chap sitting outside with his missus having a quart says as he'd gone tearing down the road as if his beard were afire.
With slow care, my Uncle Silas chose himself another raspberry. As he sucked it into his loose red lips, it stained them with an almost purple smear.
Growing on a very tall edge, that honeysuckle, he said. Had a job to reach it.
What was she like? I started to say again.
Growing up a big tall hedge, other side of a big dyke full of meadowsweet and willow herb and burnet and all that.
I didn't ask what she was like any more. For some reason, I made up my mind that she was dark, and how nice she would have looked with golden fingers of honeysuckle in her hair.
They all say the best fruit's at the top of the tree, Silas said. So will that honeysuckle. Too high for me. Couldn't get at it no how.
With what I thought was some effort, he managed a bit of a sigh.
Ah, had to lift her up. Only thing for it, had to lift her up.
Then he went on to say how light she was, light as a feather, and how he sat her on his shoulder. At first he clasped her round the legs, but she laughed so much she couldn't lift her arms. Then he put his hands round her waist and tried to lift her that way, but the honeysuckle was still far out of reach, and in the end they both fell down.
First time she fell atop of me in the meadow suite. Then we tried it again, and I fell atop of her.
He sighed again, as if reliving, I thought, the long July dusk with the honeysuckle, the meadow sweet, and Shandy Lil. But suddenly he said,
"That's why them yellow raspberries always remind me of her."
"Oh, damn the raspberries," I said. "I know all about the raspberries. What was she like?" With solemn slowness, he lifted an edge of his straw hat and cocked his eye at me.
"If you go over to the Blacksmith's Arms at Netherdean, you'll see a gel there beyond the bar. That's Shandy's granddaughter."
"Anything like her?"
"Spitting image. Same white skin, same light brown hair. Colour of beer, but not quite. More like a drop of shandy."
He sighed again, and from the spinney a breath of wind stirred the leaves and ran along the raspberry rows, blowing all the ripe fragrance of the red black fruit into the heat of the afternoon.
"Beautiful white skin. Beautiful little figure."
He held up a big ripe raspberry and contemplated the firm red cone of it in a musing dream.
"Hadn't got a blemish on her nowhere."
"Nowhere?" He chuckled for the last time, ripely.
"Not as far as I could see," he said. "But then, it were getting dark at the time.